Well, if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. Father, in the name of Jesus, how grateful we are to be here today. Thank you for life itself. Thank you for breathing life into us. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the cross. Thank you that you are our healer and provider. You are the one who directs our steps. We trust you today. And now, Lord, we trust you with your word. We ask, God, that you would open up our heart and help us comprehend what you are saying to us. Plant something in us that is real, that will last and bring forth glory to you. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners. That's a sermon right there. Yes, sir. You're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. This morning I want to share a message I've entitled, Are You Spiritually Grounded? Now, before anybody gets all nervous, I'm not saying that you're on punishment. I'm not saying that God has grounded you. This is a totally different thing that we're talking about here. I want to know, are you grounded? I want to know, do you have a good foundation? Do you know that a foundation's important, right? It doesn't matter how good looking a house is on the outside, or how good looking a structure is, or how good looking a building is on the outside. If there is a problem with the foundation, then it's just inevitable, isn't it? I look at houses a lot on Realtor, just, you know, looking around and looking at stuff. And sometimes you'll see a nice looking house, you know, for sale for real cheap. And you're like, I wonder what's wrong with this thing. You start clicking around, you start looking. It's like, well, the foundation's about to crumble. You know, you're like, well, no wonder they're selling it for $5. You know, it's a 5-bedroom, 6-bathroom house for $5, because it doesn't matter how nice it is on the top. If the foundation is falling apart, then the value drops dramatically. It's not going to last long, and you know that it's going to happen. You can sit and pray over it and lay hands on it if you want to, but eventually, if you don't fix that foundation, it's going to fall apart. So it's all about what you build on if you want to have a lasting, functioning structure. Yeah, it's important what you put into the structure, and it's important, you know, you don't want somebody to come along and build you a house out of balsa wood, right? Y'all remember building those balsa wood bridges when you were in? Come on, that's right, Mr. Grady. The man moved about 2 miles an hour. If you asked him for something, he would sit there for like 3 seconds and stare at you and then finally get up and go do something. He even coached basketball. I don't know how he did that. But you just had to make those bridges out of balsa wood. You know how easy it is to break apart. You might get a nice house. It might look good on the outside, but it's not going to last very long. Foundation can also determine the amount of power or balance you have. So when you're talking about foundation, you're not just talking about a building or a structure or what you're building upon. You can talk about your life. You can talk about your own physical ability. If your feet is not grounded and in place, then it affects your ability to do other things. Weightlifters might be able to lift a lot of weight, but if they don't set their feet right, then they're going to lose balance. And if they lose balance, they're going to lose power, right? You've got to have a firm foundation underneath you. Quarterbacks who don't set their feet directly or in the correct place, they lose arm strength. They lose the ability to put the ball where they need it to go. They lose accuracy if you don't set yourself. You know, I don't have a lot of success on ladders. And I've been on a lot of ladders in my day, but some of you may know the story about me putting the volleyball net up over here on the gym. We have a hook on the wall there, and you have to pull the net over and tie it to the hook. At least that's the way we did it when I was there. And so I was up on a ladder tying it to the hook. Well, you know, if you're not set in the middle of that ladder and you start pushing, right, because I'm pulling this way, which means I got to push my feet that way. That's not how you do a ladder, folks. I don't know if you knew that or not. So as I'm pulling on the ladder, it kicks out from underneath me. Yeah, I was about to sue the church, I'm telling you. That ladder kicked out from underneath me, and I don't know, the Lord is good. The Spirit of God lifted me up. I jumped on top of the ladder and surfed it to the ground. I don't know how it happened. I just stepped off the ladder, so that was pretty nice. Look around, make sure nobody's watching. I had a ladder kick out from me one time, and I grabbed the pipe above me. You ever done that? You've just been And somebody like, no, I don't know what you're talking about, Mark. I just go up ladders and come back down. It's just kind of a normal process. If you don't have firm foundation, if you don't have yourself set, if you don't have yourself balanced, then it takes away power. It takes away the ability to do things that you would normally do. How many of you have never been, how many of you are not set sometimes and all of a sudden one of your grandkids or one of your children come running to they want you to catch them? That ever happened to you? You just kind of turn around and there they are in midair. Ah! If you're not set, it don't matter whether they weigh 25 pounds or 250, you're going to the floor. You got to have a firm foundation because being grounded has to do with foundation. When we say that someone's grounded, obviously we can say that if you're grounded, you can't go anywhere, right? You got to stay home. You got in trouble. Of course, some of you probably need to be spiritually grounded. But that's not what we're talking about here. When we're talking about someone's grounded, we're normally talking about someone who's balanced. They're not given to extremes. They're full of conviction. They tend to make wise decisions. Being grounded has to do with roots. And being rooted can make you grounded. Being grounded has to do with roots. Being rooted makes you grounded if you are rooted in the right stuff. Amen. How many of you don't have a green thumb? You plant things and it dies. You put things in the ground, you talk to it, you sing over it, you water it, you feed it, you do everything you possibly can, and it still is like... And lots of times it doesn't have anything to do with what you have done. It's just it got planted in the wrong stuff. And when we allow our lives to get rooted or grounded in the wrong stuff, we're going to lose balance. We're going to lose the ability to make sensible, wise decisions. We're not going to live a grounded life. So grounded people have strong foundations. They root themselves in what produces sensible, wise, and a productive life. When we look at our spiritual lives, we need to ask ourselves if we are grounded. Are we rooted in the foundation that leads to wise, godly decisions? Have we rooted ourselves in the correct foundation that prepares us for the storms of life? Are we grounded in the right foundation that leads us to growth, spiritual fruit, and faith-filled obedience? How many of you, there has to come a time in our lives when we spiritually take a look at ourselves and where we are standing and make sure that we're in the right stuff? We want to make sure that we're grounded. We want to make sure that we're rooted. We want to make sure that we're standing on a firm foundation. I don't know if y'all follow Christian news very often, but in just the recent months, we've had two fairly well-known people who have basically renounced their faith. They have at least walked away with some level of skepticism. Joshua Harris, who wrote the book I Kissed Dating Goodbye, had been a pastor for 20 years, basically announced that he didn't feel as though he was a Christian any longer. Marty Sampson, who is a songwriter for Hillsong. Those of you who were in youth ministry years ago, you remember, Jesus, you are my best friend. That was written by Marty Sampson. Marty Sampson actually came out and said that he's struggling and doesn't know whether or not he really believes anymore. There's a crisis of faith that's going on. And then you have the cultural trends that bleed into Christianity and causes the church to look around and try to redefine what we've believed for thousands of years because we're trying to fit in with what's popular or what's acceptable. And so we have a crisis of faith that goes on in a lot of people's lives. Now, I'll be the first to admit, church, God is not afraid of your doubts. He's not afraid of your skepticism. I know lots of times it's been preached to you that if you doubt, there's something wrong with you. But you know what doubt goes along with? It goes with being a human being. When you're uncertain, when you have doubts, when you have skepticism, it's okay. Christianity can be questioned. It's all right. It's okay to have questions about what God's doing and who God is and why things are done this way. It's okay to do that. God said, come now, let us reason together. Come on, let's talk about this. Let's sit down. Let's talk about your doubts. Let's talk about your skepticism. Because everyone in their life comes to places where you have a crisis of faith. Where you come to a place where you're questioning, maybe you're not questioning the existence of God or your salvation, but you question, God, what are you doing? God, why are you doing it this way? God, why didn't you do it that way? We have those crises of faith that causes us to recognize that I got to go back to my foundation. What you are rooted in is what's going to get you through in those moments of doubt and skepticism and uncertainty. Paul tells us where we are to be grounded in our spiritual walk. Our lives, as we look at this, as the collective people of God, it says in this passage of Scripture, is being built into a spiritual temple. And he tells us where this temple begins. It begins with the foundation. But it begins with the cornerstone. Who's the cornerstone? Jesus Christ. He holds the entire foundation together. No matter whatever else we add to that foundation, it must find its strength in the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. If our lives are not built on Jesus and what He has taught us, we will crumble when the storm hits. You know the story. Jesus said there's two guys. One guy built his house on sand. One guy built his house on the rock. The one who built his house on the sand hears the word of God but doesn't do it. The one who builds his house on the rock is the one who not only hears it, but he obeys it. And then when the storms of life come, his house is still standing. Again, doesn't matter how pretty your house is. If you're not on rock, you're going into the way of the sea. And it's not enough, according to what Jesus said, it's not enough to hear what He's saying. You have to obey what He's saying. If our pursuit, if our spiritual pursuit, folks, is not leading us to Jesus and His presence, then we're on the wrong pursuit. Any desire to know God cannot be founded on what we can get out of it. It must be rooted in His glory and in His praise. When we pursue God only for what God can give us, then we are on the wrong pursuit. Our pursuit should be for His glory and for His praise and for His honor, that He be exalted in our lives. Church, He is our treasure. He is the one we are searching for. As we press into Him. Being rooted in Jesus keeps us from falling apart during the storm. It calms the panic in our lives. It produces spiritual confidence in us. The old song says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So that means let every song, let every sermon, let every move of God, let every outreach, everything we do honor and glorify and point to Jesus. Times will change. Feelings will change. Ideas, politics, philosophies, and fads will change. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. We already heard that this morning, didn't we? Fads are going to change. Politics are going to change. God help us, we pray they do. Ideas are going to change. But Jesus stays the same. So it begins with the cornerstone. But I want us to look at this passage of Scripture. We all know and should know that we should be building our lives upon Jesus Christ and who He is and what He says. Even the uncomfortable things that He says. Not just the fluffy things, right? Oh, Jesus, the good shepherd who loves us all and pats us on the head. Aren't you a good sheep? Some of us are goats and don't know it, right? But we're also, the Bible says, they're founded on the apostles and prophets. Not just the fact that they are apostles and prophets, but we are built on their sacrifice. We are built on their holy character. We have to realize that, church, we are built upon a sound faith that has existed through millennia. Okay, we're not just talking about this thing. Paul said this thing didn't happen in a corner, folks. All right, this started and it grew and it's grounded and founded on truth. But it's not just even based on sacrifice and character. It's more specifically built upon their teaching and their doctrine. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 41, that the Bible, now this is obviously the preaching of Pentecost, and they've seen 3,000 souls be added to the church after one sermon that Peter preaches. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. 3,000 people getting baptized had to be a sight to see. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in what? The apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. All of those things are important. Fellowship is important. Breaking of bread is important. Prayer is important. We must continue in those things. But firstly, they continued in the apostles' doctrine. The early church grew and became strong because of their commitment to the doctrine that was being taught by the apostles. Now, most of us will probably admit in here, we don't want to raise our hand, we don't want to say it's true, but doctrine is normally not exciting. It's not an exciting thing to sit down and start talking about doctrine. Well, what do you believe about the doctrine of the Trinity? You know, we think, well, that belongs in some type of dead Bible college someplace, right? What do you think about the immutability of Christ? You're like, I don't even know what that means, nor do I care. So when we start talking about doctrine, it kind of gets dry, you know. I didn't come to church to hear doctrine. I came to church to, woo-hoo, feel that. Come on now. Some of you is like, where is he going with this? Doctrine's not exciting, but it's most definitely important in living a grounded life. Why? Because what we believe affects how we behave. What we believe affects how we see the world. It affects how we see others. Because lots of times it's not really even what's true, but what we believe is true. That affects how we see people and how we see things. And what we believe affects us not only spiritually, it affects us emotionally, relationally, financially, physically. What you believe about how you should spend your money obviously is affecting your bank account. Right? When you get to the end of the month and you're like, where did it go? It might have to do with what you believe about money. If we get off in our doctrine, we slowly move away from the foundation that keeps us grounded. When we start getting weird in doctrines, when we start mixing things in that are not really truth, when we start adding our own ideas, then we start getting into dangerous ground. We have to remember that to live a spiritually grounded life, we have to root ourselves in the Word of God. The Bible tells us what the Bible reveals to us who God is and what God has done. It reveals to us who He has made us and what His grace and Spirit has empowered us to do. If you want to know who God is, if you want to know what God has done for us, then go to the Word of God. If you want to know who you are and what He has empowered you to do, then go to the Word of God. I know it may not be popular right now, and I know right now that the Bible might be under attack, and I know it might make us narrow-minded, but we have to recognize that if we're going to live a spiritually grounded life, then we have to ground and root ourselves in the truth of God's Word. Once we get outside of the Word of God, we're no longer building on a lasting foundation. That's why I think it's funny that people that have debates And both will consider themselves Christians, but they're literally debating over whether or not we should obey the Word of God. Once you get outside of the Word of God, you have redefined Christianity. We are based upon the truth of God's Word. So what you believe is important. What you know about God, what you know about His Word is important. Even in the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters of Ephesians, Paul talks about doctrine. He's trying to get something down in the inside of them so that they have something to anchor themselves to. They have something to root themselves to. Chapters 4 through 16 are more practical, the more about how living it out is supposed to happen. But you see this in Ephesians, you see this in Colossians, you see this even a little bit in Philippians. He starts out in the first part of his book giving nothing but doctrine, and in the end of his book he tells you how to live it out. And that's where that goes from this. Doctrine is meant to be experienced. God invites us to know Him, but knowledge is meant to lead us to experiencing. To know God is to experience Him. To stand on the Word of God is to experience the power of the Word and the faithfulness of His promises. Listen, doctrine that has no corresponding experience becomes nothing more than head knowledge that produces no real fruit and only leads to lifeless religion. If all we have is doctrine, then all we have is head knowledge, and knowledge can lead us to pride. The Bible says knowledge puffs up. So we can know a bunch of stuff, but not know anything. Y'all met anybody like that? They know a bunch of stuff, but they don't know anything. They've got a lot of knowledge. They can spew out facts. And because of this, but they don't ever really live out what they know. Doctrine can become just a catalog of knowledge that does not affect how we live or who we are really becoming. Doctrine can become a sword for judgment and critical living with no root in love. You can always find someone who is really heavy on doctrine but light on experience, because they will typically come across as the judge of the earth. You're not believing it right. You're not doing it right. You're not going through the motions right. You're not religious enough. You've not done all the good things. I know, because I've got a list. But they've not experienced the grace of God. How many of you know doctrine's too heavy if we don't have grace? The Bible tells us that Jesus came with grace and truth. He didn't just give us truth. He gave us the grace to fulfill the truth that He has shown us. Ephesians chapter 3, if we go over a certain chapter, this is a prayer of Paul. This is the middle of this prayer. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in what? Everybody say it. Rooted and grounded in love. You can't get away from this, folks. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, and that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul prays that the Ephesian believers would know Christ, but that it would lead them to comprehending the love of God. Yes, know doctrine. Yes, know what the Bible says. Yeah, know what it teaches. Yes, know the reality of holiness and purity and obedience. But it should lead us to comprehending the love of God and rooting and grounding ourselves in loving God and loving people. But we also see in Paul's prayer that this knowing and comprehending should lead us to being filled with all the fullness of God. Again, this is where doctrine always leads us to. Back to the presence of God. Back to experiencing the fullness of who He is. Doctrine should always lead us back to the cornerstone. And it should always lead us back to experiencing the reality of who He is. There are a lot of people, I believe, that are in the church that understand the concept of salvation but have yet to experience it. We can understand the concept or the teaching of being filled with the Spirit, but still not be filled with the Spirit. Doctrine's supposed to lead us back to the presence of God. It's supposed to lead us back to the hunger of knowing Him and knowing more of Him. If truth takes us to a place of judgment and criticism and pride, then we've missed out on the purpose of knowing.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
But, experience is never meant to be the end-all when it comes to being spiritually grounded. When we seek experience for the sake of experience, it's easy to be deceived and base our lives on feeling instead of faith. If we are consistently only moving from one experience to the next, hoping God will touch us, hoping God will make us feel a certain way, hoping God will, you know, I want to go to church and feel some chills run up my spine. Come on now. Then we end up basing our lives on feeling instead of faith. Because at the end of the day, we have to make sure that our experience is always connected to sound doctrine.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Yes. If we start basing our spiritual growth and strength on chill bumps, then we're going to completely get wiped away.
Yes, sir.
Come on, some of you get chill bumps listening to V100. I mean, come on. Am I right? Some song from your past comes up and you're like, oh. Had nothing to do with God, nothing to do with the Holy Ghost, had nothing to do with truth or the reality of God's Word or His promises in our lives. Somebody sang a song about your mama and you got all teary-eyed. But you haven't really experienced anything real. We can't base our lives based on feeling. Looking at Paul's prayer again, he prays in that chapter that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith. By faith. Folks, this is the definition of the Christian life. By faith. This is the core of a spiritually grounded life. By faith. Is this something that we should experience? Yes. But it doesn't say that Christ would dwell in our hearts by feeling. It says that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith. How many of you know feelings come and go? And they go through extremes. If you're a sports fan, you know what I'm talking about. It can turn on a dime. We've got this. We lost. Come on, Mountaineer fans. You've been there. We've got this. this. The game's over. We're throwing banners in the air. We finally did it. No, we didn't. Feelings come and go. But faith finds its roots in the Word of God. It finds its root in doctrine, in correct believing. When we put too much stock in feeling, we'll be carried away by every wind of doctrine that sounds good emotionally. We'll get carried away by every feeling that comes along, every new doctrine that comes along, every new idea that comes along. And honestly, as much as I believe in the move of the Spirit and the anointing of the Spirit, this happens a lot in charismatic circles. Because in charismatic circles, we all feel like we've got to get a new revelation. I got to hear something new from God. God's got to give me a new idea and a new way of looking at things. It's right here. And we get caught up by every wind of doctrine that leads us in all kinds of crazy places. And then we end up having a Christianity that is a mishmash of a bunch of ideas. We start mixing in New Age stuff, and we start mixing in false religions, and we start mixing in all kinds of things. And the next thing you know, we are whacked out. Because we're going from one experience to the next. We're going from one spiritual encounter to the next. We have to recognize that if we don't ground ourselves in God's Word, we're susceptible to losing our faith and questioning God and questioning who we are when the feeling isn't there or it starts to fade. Church, I would like to tell you today that you could come up here and we will pray for you and God's going to fill you with this certain kind of feeling and you're going to walk through the rest of your life always feeling that. But that doesn't happen. You're not always going to feel the way you feel today. You're not always going to feel the way you did yesterday. You're not always going to feel the way you did when that person laid hands on you. You're not always going to feel the way you did when you came to the altar and you committed your life to Christ. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with feelings. I think there are too many dead people in the church that don't feel a thing. I don't know how we come in here and sing worship songs and just stare at the wall. Shout to the Lord on the earth. I mean, honestly, if your faith is real, there should be some feeling with it. If you love God, you should have some feeling with it. If you love somebody, don't you feel something? I mean, I hope so. I mean, if you're married to somebody and they're like, I don't feel a thing. It's not that you're not going in a good direction. There's nothing wrong with feeling, but if we base it on feeling, we're going to get swept away by all kinds of crazy ideas. When we pray for a move of God, or if we pray for a revival, we should always pray an awakening not only of experience, but an awakening of doctrine. I believe more than ever that this generation needs to experience the presence of God. And I'm so grateful for what's happening in Summersville. I'm grateful for the revival that took place last year in southern West Virginia. It seems like God's really moving in that area. I'm grateful for that experience. But we also have to pray that during this experience, sooner or later, you can't be addicted to the feeling. You can't be addicted to revival. You've got to ground yourself in an awakening of what the Word of God says and who we are and what we are supposed to become. Amen. We should always pray for an awakening of doctrine and experience. An experience that is real, but an experience that is not rooted and grounded in unshakable truth is going to get us off. Because when the feeling is not there, or even if the feeling changes, the only thing that stays the same is the truth of who God is. The cornerstone of our spiritual lives will always be Jesus, who He is, and not just what He is doing for us. Remember, Jesus told that crowd, He said, the only reason why you're following me is because I fed you. Now, I'm not knocking him. If Don's going to feed me, I'll follow him. Where are you going? I will follow you anywhere. I don't blame him, right? But Jesus said, you didn't come because you want me. You came because your stomach got full. And that's the danger sometimes of when we start praying for moves of God or revival. Why do we want it? Right. Why do we want revival? Why do we want an awakening? Is it for a feeling, or is it for us to know Him and experience Him? Is it just for a feeling, or is it so that the lost can be found and the broken can be healed? And then when they get up, they can live their life out, grounded and rooted in the truth of God's Word, even when the feeling isn't there anymore. The church service comes to an end. The revival service comes to an end eventually. That time of prayer comes to an end eventually. That moment of experiencing God in a powerful and a real way comes to an end. And we have to root ourselves in who Jesus is and what He has done for us. Anytime we have a powerful experience with God, or anytime we have an answer to a prayer, or anytime a miracle happens, we should be grateful. We should be grateful, but we have to remind ourselves that our spiritual life must be grounded on a relationship and not a religious experience. Amen. Our life must be grounded in faith and not feeling. We know that life doesn't always go the way we want it. I mean, if anybody says amen, that would be that one. Amen, I can tell you about it. Life doesn't go my way. If we're not spiritually grounded, then we wither like the seed that had no depth. Right. Jesus told the parable of the sower of the seed. The word of God was sown. Some of it fell by the wayside and birds came and ate it up. Some of it was thrown on stony ground. It had a little bit of root. It sprung up and then it got burnt up by the sun. Then some of it was planted among thorns and it grew up again and got choked by the cares and the troubles of this life. If we're not spiritually grounded, we're going to wither or we're going to choke. Right. We're going to wither and we're going to choke. It's when we go through the tough times and we don't seem to be feeling anything that our faith matures. Amen. Folks, it's an immature faith that says, I have to see God doing things. It's an immature faith that says, I have to feel God doing things. And this sermon was not on my heart because of what's happening in Summersville. I'm not in any way downing what God's doing in Summersville. My prayer is that they do find grounding, and you know, once this revival is over, they still need to go to church. You know what I mean? You still need to go to church, because at the end of the day, you got to get up and live. Right. But what really was sparked it in my heart was because of all these crises of faith that seems to be happening. And people are posting it. And some of you may have seen John Cooper, kind of the lead singer from Skillet, kind of posted a response to some of these folks. And it was very good. I agree with a whole lot of it. It was wonderful. But it really is discouraging to recognize that there are people, even some of the things that I've read that they were saying, I'm thinking to myself, have you never wrestled with these things? Have you never heard the church talking about this stuff? Where do you go to church? What doctrine are you getting? What are you being taught? Because it's an immature faith that says, well, I haven't seen a miracle in a while, so I guess God's not real. That's an immature faith. Are you saved? Are you born again? As Don said, that's the greatest miracle you'll ever see. Yeah. You've seen a transformed life? Yeah. Yeah. This happens by faith. We have to realize that even though our life doesn't go the way we want to go, the Word becomes the anchor. Amen. That doesn't allow us to be carried away when we're just not feeling it. Come on, how many of you have been at work and you're like, I'm just not feeling it today? You're like, yeah, that's Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And of course, we all know we're not feeling it on Friday. I don't know why they do casual Fridays. It's already bad enough. Nobody works on Friday now. And then you show up casual, you're just like, no. I know this report is due, but we're not feeling it. I'm just not feeling it. Gosh, if I based my salvation on not feeling it, I'd have quit a long time ago. Especially every morning. I'd backslide every morning. I am not feeling it. This passage also reminds us that being spiritually grounded is connected to our function and our purpose. It has to do with identity. Paul tells us that we're being formed into a house. A house that is meant to be a habitation of God through the Spirit. Not just a visitation, but a habitation. Not just a momentary experience, but a habitation, a growing, a learning, a rooting ourselves in the truth of God's Word. What is the ultimate purpose of what we're being taught from the Word of God? What is the ultimate purpose of what we are experiencing? We are meant to be the house of God. We're meant to be the temple of God. We're meant to be the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. And that, folks, is a move of God. I believe it was William Booth that actually said, I'm not praying for a move of God. I am a move of God. William Booth founded the Salvation Army. His prayer was, he actually told his trainers, the people that trained that work with him, he said, if I could, I would train you by hanging you over hell for 24 hours. That's pretty radical. And folks, we are the temple of God. We are the house of God. We are the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And this is the truth, whether we feel it or not. This is the truth no matter where we are in our emotions. Every day we are to be filled with the Spirit of God. Every day we are the house of God. Every single day we are the temple of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is our function. This is our purpose. When we know who we are, we walk in the confidence of God's favor. When we know that we are the house of God, when we know we are the temple of God, when we've grounded ourselves in the Word of God, we walk in favor. But we also know that when we who we are, then we know and we can allow God to shape and mold our character and motivate us to holiness. To motivate us to a life of purity. To motivate us to a life of being set apart for the kingdom of God. Of saying, I stand on the truth of God and nothing else. I stand upon what God's Word says and no mixture of some type of New Age reality. I stand upon the Word of God that tells me that I belong to Him and that He knows His own. I stand upon the Word of God that says Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. We stand upon the truth of God's Word that says that if we will believe and confess with our mouth that we can be saved and redeemed by the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ. I stand on the Word of God that tells me Jesus is coming again. And He's coming again for those who know Him. I stand on the Word of God and realize that we are everyone, all of us are appointed unto judgment. And that every one of us are only appointed to die once. There's no reincarnation. We don't get a second round at this thing, folks. We are standing before God. One of these days our life is going to end. Barring the coming of Jesus Christ, nobody gets out of life alive. We're all going to die one of these days and we're going to stand in judgment before God. This is the truth of God's Word. The comfortable parts, the rejoicing parts, and the uncomfortable parts. So we recognize that God has told us who we are. But finally, I end with saying to be grounded, we also must be connected. This passage of Scripture said that we are fitly framed together. Together is a very powerful word in New Testament doctrine. Together. Our purpose, our identity, our power to overcome is connected to others in the body of Jesus Christ. There is nothing that will keep us grounded more than someone who will speak faith-filled, Spirit-led words over our lives. Amen. Some of us, our heads get a little bit too big and somebody needs to come along and say, let's bring her back down a bit, buddy. People can be what keeps our feet on the ground, helps us see things from a new perspective. And folks, we need each other on this journey. We have to stay connected. If you're going to live a grounded spiritual life, you better ground yourself in a local church. You better get connected to some people and allow yourself to be accountable to people who will speak into your life. And then not only let them speak, but don't get mad or offended about it. And then actually take their advice. We kind of leave that part out. Oh, I'm being accountable. Really? But you're not doing a thing that was told. Somebody gave you advice, you're like, yeah, that's a good idea. And don't do it, right? If we stay connected, then we're growing. So I want to end by saying doctrine is meant to be experienced, and experience is meant to be rooted in doctrine. If we don't know the Word, folks, I challenge you, read your Bibles. If you're not reading your Bible, read your Bible. Learn what the Bible says. Learn what it says. We must pray and seek for both, but never at the detriment of the other. We're never seeking experience without knowing it must be rooted in doctrine. We're never just seeking knowledge for knowledge's sake. We want it to be lived out. And this leads us to knowing who we are. And this leads us to connecting to those whom God has planted us with. So when we are grounded on the solid foundation of the cornerstone of who Jesus is and what He's done, then we will grow for His glory. We will grow for His kingdom. And when the storms come, because they will, and when the battles come, and they will, we will be rooted in the truth of God's Word. And we will experience the reality of His power and the faithfulness of His promises. Because God's Word is true. And He does not want us to live outside of experiencing the reality of that truth.
Amen.
And if you're here today and you've heard the truth of God's Word, maybe time and time again, but you've yet to surrender and obey, I challenge you here this morning, don't just hear these words. Don't just hear these words. Church can be the safest and the most dangerous place to be. Because here you will hear truth, and here we have to do something with it. So I challenge you today, don't build your house on sand by just hearing. Build your house on the rock by obeying.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads here this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, it is our heart's desire, O God, to be grounded people, spiritually grounded people. In a world, Lord, where people are questioning their faith, skepticism's on the rise, people are walking away from what they once believed. Lord, in a wave of cultural thought and philosophy that is enveloping the church, we're asking you in the name of Jesus that you would take us back to the foundation. You would take us back to the foundation of the truth of God's Word. And Lord, teach us again. Teach us again to walk with You. Teach us again to know You. Teach us again, God, to root ourselves deeply in the doctrine of who You are and what You have done. But God, let it not stop there. Our prayer is that this generation would be a generation that experiences the power of God. We're asking You, O God, for an awakening that comes sovereignly from You. Would You arise, O God, and let Your enemies be scattered. Lord, empower us by Your Spirit. May we be people, O God, that don't just know, but people who do. People that don't just know things, but people who live out what we know. Lord, let revival stir in our hearts. We continue to pray for what's happening in Summersville and ask that You would show Yourself strong. Thank You for saving young people, and thank You for doing this through a young minister, God, showing us that this generation still has people who are hungry and thirsty for God. We ask in Jesus' name that You would continue to move, that lives would be changed, bodies would be healed, that Your supernatural gifts would be in manifestation. But we also pray, O God, that these young people and these new salvations, that they would grow in the reality of who You are, that they would grow in theology and doctrine. And we pray, O God, that here at Living Faith Church, we would not settle with just knowing and hearing, but God, we would pray and believe for a supernatural move of Your Spirit in our lives. May we be revival. May we be people, O God, who live out what Your Word says. Fill us with Your Spirit, we ask, O God. Swallow our doubts and uncertainties and insecurities. Use us, O God, for Your kingdom. Capture our hearts, we pray this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.